I think you're doing a great job with it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Although I think
Ask the Podcast Coach is brought to you by the School of Podcasting.com. Use the coupon code BTR when signing up
on my
School of Podcasting.com.
I hit record on 27 things, but not the thing I'm recording on.
Yeah, right.
All right. Today's May 30th. Is there a 31st in May?
That's a great question. I think so. Yes, tomorrow.
All right. So. Here we go. Ask the Podcast Coach for May 30th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, it is Saturday morning on this next to the last day of May. And you've joined Ask the Podcast Coach. That would be me, Dave Jackson, from the School of Podcasting.com. And this is where you can come to get your podcast questions answered live. And do I dare say for free? What am I thinking? People tell me that. I am joined every week. Luckily for me, I'm joined every week here to save the day. The one, the only, Jim Collison from TheAverageGuy.tv. Jim, how's it going?
Greetings, Dave. Good to be back. A little solo work for you last week. It was graduation Saturday, so I had a senior graduate from high school and a senior from college, and had a big party day. So I appreciate you giving me the day off.
Yeah, everybody was going to ask. I thought was going to be in Chicago, and then after the show, I got emails from everybody going, "If you ever need a co-host," and I'm like, "Yeah." So
it's you mentioned to me, you know, you haven't done it solo in a long time, and I mean, since the beginning. So it's a good opportunity to give it a try and see where it went. And you had a Baba Booey. As I listened through it, I'm like, Dave's got his Baba Booey. It finally happened.
Yeah. He's like, I'm just calling in. Like, you got a question? No.
Hey, what's going on? Hey.
Hey, and speaking of calling in, that number is 347-850-8007. Open phone lines, 347-850-8007. And as always, hey, look at that. I'm going to break my neck. If you're watching the video, I have a new monitor in the studio, and I might as well have mounted it to the ceiling. But I can see that ending in 9961. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hi, Dave. This is Gail Powers.
Hey, how are you?
I was waiting for the recognition if it came. I'm okay. It's a little early for me, as you can imagine, but I'm here, and I'm here to thank you. I'm very grateful you sent me information. So I wanted to, thank you, but you mentioned HostGator and WordPress and Libsyn and you know, Plan B, podbean.com. Mm-hmm. So when you do it on Audacity, you're saying I could just go from Audacity to HostGator, WordPress, Libsyn?
Well, here's what it is. Let's identify all the pieces parts. Audacity is a free program that you can use to record your voice.
I already did. Yeah, I have that.
Now here's what you need to get that file ready to go to the public. You need a piece of album art that should be at least 1400 by 1400 pixels and you want to make sure that whatever's on that album art looks really good when it's really small. So you don't want to put a bunch of stuff on your album art.
You're saying album art? I didn't hear what you said. Album art?
Album artwork. Yeah. I'm calling it album.
Oh, art. Album artwork. Album artwork. Got it.
So you could do that, and you need a version that's 1400 by 1400. And I usually use one that's 300 by 300 pixels to put inside my MP3 file. And this is where, you know, without making this a giant plug, the School of Podcasting will walk you through all these steps. So, you know, because you should put those ID3 tags inside your MP3 file, because if you don't, everybody else is doing it. And when somebody listens to, let's say somebody downloads your file on a Windows PC, when they double click on it, there's a really good chance it's going to open up in Windows media player, and yours won't have your artwork, you won't have your tags, and you're just going to look kind of, I always say jokingly, you're going to look like a hack when you do that.
What do you mean my artwork? What do you mean my artwork?
Your artwork is...
You want my picture?
Yeah, well, you need a logo. Let's go that route. It's a logo for your
podcast. Yeah, picture a logo. Okay, all right. Yeah.
So you'll put that inside the MP3 file, and at that point, your MP3 file is ready. Okay, now you need a website. So I recommend HostGator. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/hosting and use the coupon code PODCASTCOACH, all one word,
yeah,
you'll save 25% off. And then if you actually use my link, contact me and I'll actually install WordPress for you and some plugins. But WordPress is a great platform. It looks a lot like Microsoft Word that allows you to make your own website. And so now you've got a website. That's pieces, parts, number two. And you're going to need things like an about page that's going to explain, you know, what your podcast is about. And then you're going to need a page that says contact. So, because you're going to, the idea is to interact with your audience. So you need a way to contact with them, whether it's you can get something like a toll-free voice number, like podcastvoicemail.com, or you can use Google Voice. And then, of course, you want to have your email address on there so people can contact you. That's the whole point of reaching out to get your audience. And so you've got your website ready. And at that point, I recommend you use a media host, because as much as all these website hosts say, hey, you know, you can store unlimited stuff on our websites, that's true. But they're talking about like actual web pages, not media files like audio and video. So the two that I recommend are Libsyn, Libsyn.com, and Blueberry, Blueberry.com. And you could get a free month there using the coupon code at either place, SOP free. And you basically upload that file, now that you have your tags in it, to your media host. It will give you a link, and you can just copy and paste it into, you'll basically, here's what a podcast is. It's a blog post with media associated to it.
Yeah.
And so you copy into what basically amounts to a blog post. And at that point, you now have, you know, the beginnings of your podcast. You have to add some more tags and such for iTunes, because iTunes is where about 60 to 70% of your audience is going to come from. And so there are some things you have to do for iTunes, but those are the pieces parts. You have audio that you record with, you have your website, and you have a media host. And then the iTunes part you do when you first set up your podcast. But once you do that once, you're done. And then from that point, it's just a matter of recording another episode, writing another blog post, uploading your file, and attaching it to your blog post. And you just, at that point, kind of lather, rinse, repeat. I always say it can be a little overwhelming. The last time I counted, I think it was 27 steps to launch a podcast. But some of those are easy, like what's the name of the show? Do I have a co-host or not? So they're really easy steps. And once you get your podcast launched, you have about seven. You know, what am I going to talk about? Then I got to edit it, or then I got to record it. Then I have to edit it, upload it, and write a post and hit, you know, publish. So once it's up, it's a piece of cake. It's those steps that you have to do. You know, one of those steps might be buy a microphone. Well, you're only going to do that once. So
I already have a microphone. I already have Audacity. I already have my recording. It's already done, waiting to go somewhere.
Okay, so you need a website.
I'm already done with that.
Yeah, so you should, what you should do is I would recommend joining the School of Podcasting, because you got a lot of steps to go through. And I normally don't make this a big giant commercial for the School of Podcasting, but if you're brand new to this, there are two ways that you're going to pay to start your podcast. You can pay in time and go out and do Google searches, and you'll find old posts that tell you to use bad solutions like Feedburner. They'll tell you to use Podomatic, which in my opinion is not a great solution. But you won't pay a dime for that information. Or you can hire somebody or take a course. It's going to cost you some money, but I'm going to save you a whole lot of time, and I'm going to save you a whole lot of headaches. I had somebody again this week that I had to fix their Feedburner feed because they're using the wrong technology. So, you know, it's everybody thinks you should be able to do it for free. You know, you might want to look into that. I have a course. If you want to do this for free, go over to podcastingforfree.com. And it'll show you how to build a website, how to record a podcast with your phone. If you just want to kind of test the waters, you could do that.
How did you do it, though? I mean, I understand that you're recommending HostGator, but I noticed that your referral is one of your sponsors.
It's not a sponsor. It's called an affiliate link. I recommended HostGator. I recommended Libsyn. I recommended Blueberry. All those accounts.
Oh, way, okay. That's right.
Way before they had an affiliate program. I've used HostGator for 20 years.
Okay. So you've tried them yourself. Okay. So what you're doing is exactly what the end result is. I was very impressed with what you're doing because it's the end result of what I want, that somebody will call in and you have, you know, a show and it's very similar to radio. I mean, it's very similar to what you're doing. It's very impressive.
Thank you. Are you by any chance watching the video?
No.
Okay. Because I was going to show you my mixing board that I'm doing this. I'll pull this over for people that are watching.
Watch your video? You mean on my laptop?
Go to askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And I've got nothing but cables going everywhere. I'm sitting here with an iPad that I can sit here.
Oh, no, I did see. Oh, no. You mean, have I seen your video? Yes, I have. Not now, I have not. But okay, before I called you. Yes, I have.
So as much as I'm sitting here doing this.
It looks great.
I typically do not recommend people start live because, number one, you don't have an audience. I would do a podcast for 6 months and start to grow an audience and then say, hey, guys, I really want to talk to you. You know, now that I've got maybe 100 downloads an episode and I'm going to start doing this live, and you got to pick a day when you're going to be there and then go through it. Because when you first start and you want to take phone calls and things like that, you don't have an audience. And so nobody's going to call in unless you've already got a blog or some sort of little community. You know, it's a lot of extra work to take live phone calls, and you may not have anybody calling in, and so you jump through all these technical hoops for nothing. So I my opinion would be, start a podcast, get that information out there, start growing your community, and then get them hyped up about it. Hey, I'm thinking of doing this live, what would you think of that? Because you're only going to get about maybe a tenth of your audience live, depending on the show and things like that. I know Leo Laporte's a really famous podcaster. We're going to probably talk about Leo today. He says he only gets about 10%. I know I only get maybe 10%. Jim, what do you get? Now, I know you get huge numbers.
Well, still live on the personal side, on the Home Gadget Geek side, we do, I do 15 or 20 every week, and the downloads are between 1,500 and 2,000. So that's not, percentage wise, those are pretty small numbers. On the Gallup side, we get much larger numbers. So those are hundreds live and thousands downloads. So that's that closer to 10% number on the Gallup side. Yeah. So, but I'm with you. I totally recommend, if you're just starting the podcast, get your podcast going. Get practiced, get good at it, and then maybe add live later.
Yeah. I mean, I had podcasted for years, and then I started the live show just because people kept asking me, how do you do a live show? And that's when I did it. I was like, wow, this is not as easy as it sounds. And we were laughing because last week we had a caller just calling randomly and had no idea what he was calling into. We call that a Baba Booey moment, so it's one of those things that looks fun, but it takes a lot of practice, and there are times.
Yeah, but I know a lot of people. I'm a stand-up comic. I wrote a book. I mean, people know me. That's not really an issue for me. The issue is to get it up the way it's supposed to be right away, because if people call in, I have it. If they don't call in, so what?
Okay, so there are two.
I don't really care if they call in or not. It's just to make it available if they want to.
Ah, okay. So you don't need like a queue of callers to see who's called in and things of that nature?
No, I don't really care if they call in or not. I have things to say. My intention is that I want people to call in and fight with me, because there are things that I'm going to talk about. It's all about sex and the lies of sex and all that. People are going to talk about it. It's about time somebody's talking about it, or they're going to call in and argue with me and lie to me. No, it's not true. I'm a woman. I don't go through that. All that stuff. So whether they call it or not is I just want to be able to get it, to make it available if they want to.
Got it. Okay. So if you're going to be having call-in people, then you need to find out, when am I doing my show? Because you need to do it every Tuesday,
Sunday afternoon. I already have a Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock is my intention. 3-4 o'clock is my intention. It's so not going to be a long show. The most it's going to be is a half an hour.
Okay. So here again, you have the you have easy and not a great option, and you have a great option that's not as easy. You have Blog Talk Radio, which is not my favorite platform. They have a lot of things coming in the future, but right now, still not my favorite platform, but it's really easy. It's ridiculous.
Blog Talk, wait, you say, no, that, I don't know how much long I have with you, so let me know how much time that we have left. I don't want to take advantage. I don't know how to say this. I'm just going to say it. It is the worst to get. They own your show.
Absolutely. But it's easy.
I wouldn't even consider that, and shame on them. I've already researched and go ahead.
Now here's the other end of the spectrum. You have things like callinstudio.com.
Yeah, okay, good reputation.
Right. It's a tool that basically lets you take phone calls live, but now you got to plug it into a mixer. You've got to do a thing called a mix minus. The technical end gets the learning curve is much steeper. And that's where you need somebody that's either going to show you how to do it or have a lot of time to figure it out yourself. So you're going to pay with time or money, one of the two, or headaches. But that's the two options when it comes to taking phone calls. That's your two options right now for taking phone calls. It's Blog Talk Radio and callinstudio.com. And I agree. Blog Talk Radio right now.
No. They should be out of business. No. I mean, they don't advertise that they do that. People don't know that they do that. And then they end up using that site. And then they realize they made a huge mistake. So shame on them. But what was I going to say? So the last question, or just to make sure I understand, because I'm a little confused. So right now I have 45 days to make up my mind, as I probably told you, about GoDaddy. So you're telling me to do all this myself. I'm creating my own GoDaddy website.
I wouldn't use GoDaddy's website builder. No, I would use WordPress. GoDaddy as a host is not bad. I just started using them just because I've had people tell me about them, but I know Mike Dell is a friend of mine. He's used GoDaddy, swears by them. So, but I would not use their quote easy website builder, because you need a thing called an RSS feed. And the easiest way to make one of those is either with WordPress and a plugin called PowerPress, or if you're using Libsyn.com, they also provide an RSS feed. And again, I've got a tutorial at the School of Podcasting that shows you the pros and cons of each.
Oh, so Libsyn is similar to GoDaddy then?
No. Libsyn is a media host. GoDaddy is a website host. Because again, you got
three pieces. Well, right, but it's the same. It's the same type of. I can get the same thing I want by using. I don't understand why I would use GoDaddy except for a domain name.
No, you could use them for your domain name. Some people use them for your website host, like your host.
I know, but what you're telling me to do, the steps that you're telling me, even though it's complicated, but I'm sure I'll find my way eventually. I don't see the point of GoDaddy. I also know that GoDaddy is not as cheap as 1&1 domain. See, I'm very good at research. 1&1 domain is 99 cents for the first year, and then the second year is $14. GoDaddy is about $10 the first year, and then $14 the second year. So you end up saving $9 by using 1&1.
The first year.
Which my intent. What?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of 1&1. I hate their control panel. It's not easy to find your stats. I like HostGator and I like Bluehost. But for me, here's the, if you want the way that,
interesting. Okay. Go ahead.
The way that 90% of most podcasters do their podcast, they do a self-hosted WordPress through somebody like HostGator or Bluehost. They use media hosting from Libsyn or Blueberry, and that's it. And then it's just a matter of, like I said, you got those little things like your album artwork that you need. You need to come up with a description and a name for iTunes. Your name of your show should, in my opinion, should match your domain name somehow. That's a whole branding thing.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does already.
So.
Yeah, I already did that with GoDaddy. I don't think, according to what you're saying, I don't think I should stay with GoDaddy. I don't see what I would get out of it.
You could use them as a web host if you wanted to. They're not horrible as a web host. I wouldn't use them as a media host. So if I wanted if I wanted to use WordPress on top of GoDaddy, you could. I wouldn't. GoDaddy has this like instant website builder thing, and it's just not. It's okay, but it's not good for podcasting. WordPress is a great podcasting solution.
Okay, what is the difference between a media host and what did you say? Media host and a what? A web host?
A web host. So you need a website host for
difference? Okay, go ahead.
A media host is designed to deliver audio files or video files. That's it. And they give you great stats. And in some cases, they'll give you an RSS feed. And this is where you got to watch out, because website hosts will say, we give you unlimited bandwidth, asterisks, for web pages. Well, an MP3 file is not a web page. It's an audio file. And that's why you need a media host, because that's the heart and soul. That's the blood of your podcast. And you need somebody who's designed to give you a reliable, fast download of your media. So you use a media host. Your website is great for your pages, your about page, your posts and things like
that. Oh, so you're saying that GoDaddy is basically a web post, not a media post.
Exactly.
So the files are bigger with a media post. A web post could be very short. It's not that big a deal about the size. But the media host is a big deal about the size, because it's the audio and video files.
That is it. By George, I think she's got it. Excellent.
Yeah, I know. It's I really love talking to you. I don't want to take advantage of talking to you, but I do love you. And
I do need to kind of move on a little bit, but
that's our thing. I do love you. Go ahead. What?
I was just going to say, I have a coupon code. Use the coupon code LISTENER, LISTENER, and that'll save you at theschoolofpodcasting.com. It'll walk you through the entire process. Everything. I've got resources so you can get album art on the cheap. It'll save you so much time and so many headaches, and it'll just get you up.
And
you'll
where
be up
do
and,
I go? I go. I follow what you've written me about, right?
Yep. You don't
because
have
it
to.
Mentions listener. Doesn't mention listener on the what you email me, because I know it mentioned HostGator, WordPress, Ellipsen, Podbean.com, which I don't think that's great.
Not my favorite option, though. So
no, you're right. But HostGator, WordPress, Ellipsen, which I go through to stop free. I got that. And then you mentioned listener. No, you meant Ellipsen, right?
Listener, LISTENER. I'm trying to make it easy for you to get into the School of Podcasting. If you go to theschoolofpodcasting.com, that'll take you right to the page for the membership site, and use the coupon code LISTENER, listener. It's a coupon.
Oh, that's what I wrote. Okay, that's what I wrote down.
And that'll save you off your first month on the first month at the School of Podcasting.
Okay. So you're saying that go join the School of Podcasting and then use the code LISTENER.
That's it. It'll get you right in. And then the beautiful thing is when you say, hey, Dave, I don't understand blah, 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 because, again, it's new to you. Then I can say, hey, here's my answer. Watch this video. Because right now I can't say watch this video because it's behind the School of Podcasting. So.
Okay.
All right.
You did good. And I'm thrilled that I got up this early in the morning for you. I mean, what a charmer you are. What a charmer you are.
I try.
It's such a pleasure to know you. Really a pleasure to know you. And you're doing good and you're terrific. Thank you.
I look forward to hearing your podcast and hearing some of your comedy. And
I don't think you're old enough, Dave. Oh, but you are married. Maybe you could listen. All right.
Bye-bye. Okay. That's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, good job. It's she's had a lot of questions.
Well, here's the thing.
This is like she's just starting, right? I mean, it is surprising how complicated it can be for the average person, right? When we are all good at this, we've all figured this out. A lot of the folks in the community know what we're doing here, right? So you start thinking about it and you go like, yeah, this is kind of confusing when we think about the difference between a host provider and a media provider. And what is the difference between a GoDaddy and a Hover and a Ellipsen and a Blueberry? And what, you know, we all take that for granted. And so while it's tough sometimes to go back down to the basics on that, it's good to kind of review those.
Because this
is kind of the hurdle the average podcaster has to come up against.
Well, and Gail is awesome because she is doing a lot of research, because she doesn't want to, like, you know, and I it's weird because I don't want to sound like a giant commercial, but it's like, I've done the research for you.
Yeah, no, it's good. You've got all those videos out there. I'm not sure saving $9 a year really matters.
Yeah.
In the scheme of things, it's one of those kinds of things, you know, where you're spending $5 to save a nickel.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just not, in those cases, it's a lot of that stuff just not worth it. I think simple is going to cost you maybe a little bit more in some cases. You can go more complicated. Those are cheaper solutions sometimes if you use the complicated way of doing about it. And sometimes that's switched around. But yeah, it's a good reminder of how complex the system is, you know, when you think about what's an RSS feed and how are you getting the files delivered there? And then what about all these host providers, right? What about the SoundClouds and the Podomatics and the podcast.com and the Audio Mac and the Sound Shout Engine? And what exactly. About all those, right? What are we doing with all those, right?
Yeah, it gets
what about a mixer versus going USB? Anyways,
yeah,
all those things we take for granted. And so I think sometimes it's good to go back to the basics and kind of say, you know, oh yeah, we've got some, there's some serious questions there that have to be answered.
Yeah, it's always fun. Well, I had mentioned Leo Laporte. That's one of the hot topics this week. And of course, we do have open phone lines if you do want to call back in. The number is 347-850-8007. I see, and Gail helped me out there. I need to mention at the beginning of the show, we're at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. I didn't mention that. But Leo Laporte he announced this week, amongst some controversy, that he was going to be shutting down his live chat, when basically just going to be doing, for lack of a better phrase, podcasting, just recording it, editing it, and putting it out.
Yeah, really two issues there, right?
Yeah.
One is the live stream.
Yeah.
So they're going to, you know, because of a mistake that he made during the week in going into, you have to be very, very careful when you're doing screen sharing and you're live. Yeah. That's just one of those things you might want to have your act together, especially in your photos. And so he made a mistake. And then, of course, there are industries, you know, that are, I shouldn't say industries, there are podcasters who have made it their sole job to just watch every hour of everything he does and just go after him, right? Which I think is a little mean-spirited, I'm going to say. I mean, yes, are they getting people to subscribe, you know, to their sites? Are they getting traffic because of it? Yes, they absolutely are. I think they're actually exploiting him in some ways, which is a little sad on their part to be doing these kinds of things. I mean, we as podcasters, it's funny. It's easy to make fun of him, and it's easy because he's out there.
Right.
He's just and he's on the camera all the time. It's super easy to make fun of him and to really pick on him. But the fact of the matter is, none of us, right, have had the success that he's had.
Oh no.
Right. I mean, he is, and so be careful. You know, those who live in glass houses should not throw stones.
Absolutely.
Right? So if you get that kind of success, I'd like to see how you handle it when you have troll after troll after troll and people are putting everything you do wrong on a website. So it looks like we have a caller.
We do have a caller ending in 3434. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and your question?
Hey, this is Nick Shrigley. I'm calling from Toledo, Ohio.
Hey, buddy. What's going on?
You're talking about Leo Laporte. I had to chime in.
Ah, okay.
Don't you think a lot of this he's brought on himself by being a little irresponsible with some of the things he's putting out there?
Yeah. Let's let the audience in on what's going on. Leo did a screen share at one point in, I guess this is on, was it on his live show or was it?
Yeah, it was during the live Mac Break Weekly.
Yeah. And he, like, I've done this in the past. I have a picture of my wife in a bikini and it's in my photos. And there are times when you click on things in PowerPoint or whatever, and the first place it goes is my photos. And I'm always like, oh, wow, and that's my wife. And unfortunately, in this case, it wasn't a picture of Leo's wife. It was a picture of his winky. And what's hilarious is and this is where Leo's saying he didn't say this, but you hear Leo go, oh, like, oops, you know, and... So I think what the whole, and Jim and I were talking before the show, we think this is a gut reaction because it's there for everyone to see. And as Jim said, people are watching. And when they saw that, they're like, all right. And they've zoomed in and they've circled it and everything else. So I think Leo was like, oh, crap, I can't, you know, it's really easy to make a mistake when you're live. And it is there for everyone to see. So I think he said, all right, we're cutting that, the live stuff and the live stream. And Jim, you were saying you think he's going to backpedal.
Well, I think, yeah, I think he's going to back down from this, but there's a lot of chat going on. He asked for this. He's irresponsible with what he does. Well, I think what makes him really good, and I think he's really good. I think he's one of the best out there of us doing this. And when we say the best, that's not an opinion. He makes more money than all of us, right? So if the measurement of success in podcasting is money made, which I think is a good measurement for it, he's doing it. He's making more than just about everybody. So I would say he's very successful. He has an eccentric personality. And I just think that eccentric personality that drove him to be on the microphone for 8 hours a day, every day when he started Twit, is the same thing. You know, you don't get one without the other. And so I think it's that same eccentric personality is the same thing that gets him in trouble. I would challenge anyone of us that are listening to put your life out there for 8 hours a day, 40 days a week, 40 hours a week, and see if you don't make some mistakes on the air that get recorded.
Yeah.
That, you know, I would just, it's just one of those kinds of things. I'm like, and I'm not agreeing with it. I'm not saying we should. It's like, dude, don't take those pictures if you don't want them.
Yeah.
Right. Or fit, you're a smart guy. Figure out a way. Do it on a phone that's not connected to your network.
Yeah.
Right? Or something like that. Right?
Maybe you shouldn't use the production.
There's smart ways to do this and there's dumb ways to do it. But Nick, I mean, we were talking about this last night a little bit. I mean, he's under a microscope because he's been very, very popular. And so I think any mistake like that gets amplified. I also thought if he had just acknowledged it, I mean, I think his audience is liberal enough at this point that if he went, oh, hey, well, you know, oops, and it kind of made fun of it and just acknowledged it, it would have squelched this whole thing would have been, because he would have let the air out instead of kind of trying to hide it and cover it up and those kinds of things. So it's much more fun to make fun of something that's been covered up than to make something that's in sunlight, right? I mean, so that would have been my advice. Nick, what else do you think along those lines?
I think there are a lot of factors involved with this whole trolling of Leo Laporte. And it's not just the incident this week. I know there are a lot of fans of the Twit Network that liked Tom Merritt, that liked Iaz, that liked Sarah Lane. And to see them leave the network over the last year and some of the ways that was handled add to the fact that he's been out there, literally. I just think that all factors into it. And I hope for sake of the fans and the people that do tune in live that they... What's that?
Sorry. I think the most successful are the hardest to work for, right? I mean, look at Mark Cuban. I mean, take any of the top CEOs in the country. They're not necessarily known for the kindness that they portray to people in this process. And so... I think that success, I mean, I think what makes them successful from a monetary standpoint is that they are cut and dry oftentimes. And it's like, you know, hey, this is the way it is. I've said this is the way it is. You execute. And that doesn't look very nice, right? But I think sometimes the nice guys don't always win. And so he's just doing, I think, what sometimes is required for success. And, so no, is he a jerk about it sometimes? Sure. But aren't we all? I mean, don't we all have those moments? I mean, I think I have one of those a day, right? I'm a jerk to someone, right? It's like, so I don't know. That's, sorry, I cut you off, Nick. That was my bad.
No, I think it all just is a factor for all of it. And would you like to, I mean, the one way to eliminate mistakes like that this week is to record the show and then edit it and post it later. Does it suck for the people that watch it live? Sure, absolutely. But it's like, I hope for their sake they rethink it and maybe just eliminate the chat room. I mean, I don't know. That's just my take. And But it was a fun week in podcasting.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because when he was talking about it, I think at one point he said the chat room didn't bring any value. And I'm like, oh, dude, you do know those are your listeners. I don't know if that's an exact quote, but it was something where he kind of said, well, we don't really need it. And I'm like, you got to tread lightly there, buddy. You know, those are people you're talking about.
Yeah. I disagree. I think the chat rooms are really valuable for him.
Yeah.
And it's not the numbers. It's not his download numbers, but I think we depend on the chat room, and I think it's super important to have that. And I think it's a good thing to be managed, you know, to the point of, I think it was Mike Howard in the chat room. If you don't want these problems, don't do these things.
Yeah. Right?
And if you're going to do these things, just own up to them when they happen. Again, it would be simple for him just to go, well, okay. You know, I get it. It's totally embarrassing and I totally made a mistake.
Yeah.
Expose it for what it is and move on, you know? And it's not the 1950s anymore. I mean, we don't have to be that uptight about some of those kinds of things. And again, I wouldn't want that to happen, but I'm not doing that. You know, it can't happen because it never happens.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's it. That's the whole celebrity thing where, you know, the people got all their naked photos on iCloud. I'm like, well, here's step one. Quit taking naked photos of yourself. And number two, don't put them in the cloud. What are you thinking?
Smart enough.
Yeah.
I mean, he's smart enough to know how to do that and how not to do that. That's the bad thing about this. Is it's like you just got sloppy.
All right, Mr. Nick, any other questions or comments?
Nope. You guys are the best. I'll enjoy the chat room the rest of the show. Peace out.
Thank you, man. Hey, we have a new bumper. You ready? This is exciting.
This podcast is part of the Power of Podcasting Network. Find it at powerofpodcasting.com. Ooh. Changing the world, one download at a time.
There we go.
Radio guy.
It's the radio guy.
Yeah. Deep voice radio.
Yeah, guy. So I'm slowly working on that site. I actually switched themes yesterday, and I'm not really happy with the way it looked, which is kind of like, why did I just play that? I'm not ready for people to look at this yet, but it's where I'm headed, at least. And so.
Dave Massa in the chat room says he agree and disagree. Leo's doing well because he's a professional because of his professional radio career. That's true. And he does have an eccentric personality, but I don't ask Dave Jackson or Roy Ortega to share their life to want me to have to listen to their shows or like their content. Yeah, that's true too. But Leo's been very popular, and if his audience listens to him because of who he is, right? He doesn't force people to listen to him. He is popular.
Yeah.
Whether we like to admit it or not. And some of the reasons he's popular is because he shares those things, right? He's very open about his life and what he's doing. And apparently people like that, because if they didn't, they wouldn't listen, right? I mean, he gets massive downloads. So apparently that's one of his secrets of his success, is to share those things. Now, unfortunately, sometimes for some people, he goes a little too far. Would I stop listening to him, me personally, over this incident? No, not this. It's just a stupid personal thing, right? Most of the time, I like the content he puts out. I've been struggling with it lately. And if I don't like it, by the way, I can just stop listening to it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the magic of podcasting. I don't have to listen to it if I don't want to, right? I can do something else. If you don't like him, don't listen to him. It does bring up a good topic for podcasters and our behavior and the things that we do. How do you want to be seen? I think if you want to be a clean cut guy, or you're looking for that professional angle, you have to be above reproach. You have to work extra hard to make sure that you're not leaking these things, you know, leaking. We did a podcast on Thursday, and I was talking to my co-host about a comment I'd gotten from one of my listeners. I did it online and live, and it could have been perceived as talking behind the person's back, right? I said some things that could have been taken out of context in a bad way, and I immediately contacted that listener. And actually, that listener found that part and pinged me, and then I started a conversation between the listener and such. But yeah, those are the kind of things you run the risk of when you're on the mic.
Yep, absolutely. And boy, once it's out there, you can't put the milk back in the jug.
It's really hard. And in the case of Leo Laporte, people are recording. He could take his stuff down. It's being recorded other places. I mean, they're waiting for this kind of stuff to happen. That's the kind of popularity he has. But I mean, the popularity of fail blogs, the popularity of the fail videos, people love to see, sadly, right?
Yeah.
People love to see other people fail. That's part of the human condition, I think. And that's too bad, right? It's too bad we're that way. And everybody can say they're not that way, but come on, we've all watched these fail videos, right? Where people take the crotch shot on the skateboard coming off the rail. Wait, but we all enjoy that a little bit somehow. So I just get a little weary of us sometimes being holier than thou, or we're better than that. Well, are you? You may not be as eccentric as Leo, but you're probably not as successful as him when it comes to monetary podcasting.
Yeah, that's it. And it's weird. I started listening to The Wolf Den. It's a podcast about the business of podcasting from the guys over at Earwolf. And it's weird because they're talking to Chris Hardwick and some of the Mark Maron's producer. I went back here again. I found a podcast. I'm going back through the archives and I'm cherry picking. And it's weird when you hear them, like one of their problems is, well, you know, you have to work with your staff and your marketing department and your branding. And I'm like, you know, when you're a solo guy just starting out, you don't really have to worry about your staff. You know, it's like it's a whole different kind of problems in some cases.
And, well, Dave, I do both, right? I have my own podcast network stuff that I do. I should call it a network. That's right. An exaggeration. It's just a podcast. I have a couple shows. And then I do it at work too. And when I took it to work, I was so used to having my own creative direction that I could just do anything I wanted whenever I wanted on the fly when I felt like it. And then when I went to work, all of a sudden, and I brought in other people, I have the VP of marketing and those guys saying, well, we don't really want you to do this. We don't want you to podcast out of your studio because it doesn't look the most professional. You know, and I took offense to that. I'm like, I like my studio. But you get, so be careful what you wish for. A lot of people are like, oh, I'd love to work. I love my podcast to be my job. It is my job and it has a whole different set of pressures. You know, and I have to deal with editors and you know, for both written and video and stuff. And they're great. I got a great team, but it's a whole new deal. So it looks like we have a caller.
We do. Ending. This is so hilarious. I'm always grabbing the wrong mouse. I'm like, nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it. Ending in 5557. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hi, Dave and Jim. This is Kim from onthetablepodcast.com.
And fellow Cleveland podcaster.
Fellow Cleveland podcaster. I'm well. And how are you two today?
Oh, just splendid.
Good.
What's going on?
Well, I went to Podcast Midwest last weekend.
Yes.
And I heard Daniel J. Lewis talk about the future of podcasting. And I listen to you guys all the time talk about how you have to be in control of your RSS feed. You've got to be in control of this. You've got to be in control of that. Daniel's point last week as the keynote was saying, these are things that we're going to have to give up control of to move podcasting forward. And I'd like your opinion about that. What do you think the future of podcasting is?
Oh, boy, that's a good one. Well, I know it's going to go up. I mean, I'll take the easy answer. It's going to continue to grow. It's continued to grow since 2004. Is Daniel in the chat? Daniel's not in the chat. I was going to call him in here. Say, what do you mean by that, my friend?
He's on Arizona time now, so he's probably sleeping in, that slacker.
I guess to me, for me to give up control of something, I've got to have a benefit, right? That's the way a lot of people move. I don't want to give up Twinkies and donuts until the doctor says, if you don't, you're going to die. So when the pain of not changing my action leads me down a path of pain, then I'll change. That's why a lot of people will change. So, you know, for me to give up my RSS feed, I've got to get something way bigger in as a benefit. And then also, you know, I'm going to have to know, did he say what was going to replace it?
No, he didn't. He wasn't making predictions of what might be coming. He was just saying that these are things that are going to have to change because the medium is going to demand change as technology changes.
I mean, I know my podcast, even though I can't find it because I can't get my phone to work right on Spotify, I'm in the School of Podcasting is in Spotify, which is great. I'm excited. And I looked briefly through their terms of service. But I basically knew they're going to put advertising not in my show, but either before or after. And so, you know, I could have, you know, stomped and said, no, I need a cut of that or something like that. But to me, in theory, the exposure I hopefully get from Spotify will outweigh the fact that I'm not getting paid to run ads against my show, because basically my show is kind of behind the scenes an ad to get people to hire me as a podcast consultant. So I'm already benefiting from that. So that's an example of, do I give up control? Yeah, I give up control of the fact that you can put ads against my stuff. But as long as you play my show in its entirety and you let me say things like schoolofpodcasting.com, then I don't have a problem with that. So that's an example, I guess, of where I, you know, same thing for Stitcher, same thing for iHeartRadio. I mean, Ask the Podcast Coach is on iHeartRadio. And when I go to listen to my show, the first thing I have to listen to is an iHeartRadio ad that I get 0% of. But on the other hand, I get to say, yes, I'm a podcast consultant. You can hear me on iHeartRadio. Now, am I getting a huge number of downloads on iHeartRadio? No, not really. But it sounds cool. Looks good on the resume. So I'll take that pro for the con of they're going to put ads against my show, because I don't know, you know, I know some people say they're getting listens on iHeartRadio. I know I've had episodes spike every now and then. So
Kim, what do you think? What after you walked away from that, you're a podcaster. What do you think?
Well, Podcast Midwest was wall to wall from morning until 5 o'clock in the evening. I haven't really had time to process all the things that Daniel said because I'm still working through all the things that everybody else said. It was just an amazing presentation. If somebody has a chance to go see one of the podcast day-long seminars, I think it's well worth the time and the money and the travel to do it.
Yeah, I know he's going to do his presentation on his show. I think he said next week he's going to present it on his actual podcast. So I'll be interested to hear exactly what he's talking about.
Well, the other thing that you just were talking about was being on the iHeartRadio platform and other platforms. Mm-hmm. Last week, you helped me get my podcast onto Spreaker, and it literally took me less than 5 minutes. It was just amazingly simple to do, and I thought, okay, if it's this simple here, maybe there are other places that I should be putting my podcast on. Can you recommend other places that should I go on iHeartRadio? What do I know? I don't know.
Yeah, the biggies are obviously iTunes, Stitcher, and then TuneIn is currently the number three. And then from there, you can go over to
Spreaker for sure, right?
Yeah, Spreaker's a good one. Now, if you use the Spreaker free account, that just means every now and then you have to go in and delete some of the past episodes to do that. Because, the last little test I did, 1% of my audience came from SoundCloud, 22% of my audience came from Spreaker. And I thought that was rather interesting because there are people on Spreaker looking for content, not so much on SoundCloud. And that might be, I'm not sure why that is, but it's just a case where Spreaker seems to be, you know, a decent place to get listens. I also get about 20% of this audience for Ask the Podcast Coaches on YouTube. A lot of people watch this show. You know, but the biggies are iTunes, Stitcher, and then TuneIn. If you go over to Podcast 411, that's Rob Walsh's from Libsyn. That's his website, and he has a directory of directories. And what I would do is, you know, write out your description, write out, you know, upload your artwork somewhere in all those sizes, and then copy those URLs to the actual image. Have your RSS feed there, have your iTunes link all in a document. And then what you can do is go to these directories and they're all going to ask you the same stuff. What's your name? What's your name of your podcast? What's your, you know, and you can go through these and just copy, paste. It'll take you maybe a half hour. But it's one of those things you do it once and then it's looking at your RSS feed. So as soon as you update your website, you've updated all these other websites. Now, are you going to get a bazillion downloads from these? No, but if, worst case scenario, you get a link back to your site and that might give you a little more Google juice.
Kim, let me give you a little advice because I do them all. I do all these things. And one is I do what Dave said, put a list together of all your stuff so you've got it consolidated when you're adding them. But I wouldn't add them all at once. I'd pick one every other week or so. So maybe Spreaker would be a good one to start with. And go over and check them out. See what they're doing. See how you can take advantage of them. See how you can add them to your distribution list to make the maximum benefit for what you're paying. And if they're free, then just see what they offer you. And then spend a week or two really working in the ecosystem, because none of these work just by joining them, right? There's you're going to get that 1% from SoundCloud just from joining them, doing nothing with it. But in that week or two, really work with them. Tweet them out. You've got to promote your stuff on them. That's just not going to happen automatically. So tweet them out to your audience, get some people talking about them, see where they're working and where they're not working and figure them out. Then 2 weeks later, move on to the next one. And that gives you some time to consume it. I added a whole bunch one time and then I actually forgot what I had, cause I didn't write it down. I forgot I had been on one of the platforms. And the worst thing to do is start putting your stuff out there and then go 8 weeks without updating it because you forgot it was out there. And then people do land there and like, oh, this person doesn't care, right? So I would walk through that maybe a week or two at a time, learn each one of them. But there's a lot of them out there that, you know, I just recently started using archive.org just for evangelism stuff. I get a handful of plays every week from our archive.org. Plus, in the future, they'll be out there, right? They're trying to copy the internet so that it stays around for a while. So anyways, does that help? I mean, from a practical sense, does that help?
Yeah, it does. And I've started with Spreaker, and I can certainly do the social media stuff about my new location for Spreaker this week. But next week, I guess I do tune in.
Yeah, if you go again, it's podcast, the number one.com. And there's a link right there. You have to email them. And it's kind of a bummer. You have to email them a album artwork, which is not at all traditional size. It's like, instead of 1400 by 1400, it's like 1100 by 11. It's some weird size. So you have to, you know, you can go to like Pixlr, PIXLR.com. That's a free photo editing software website. You can go in and resize your album artwork. And you have to send them basically all that stuff I said. Here's the link to my website. Here's the link to my RSS feed. Here's my album artwork. Here's my description. It'll go that route. And that's where, I don't know if you're using Libsyn, but Libsyn has, Libsyn kind of has a cool portal for publishing your show. Like when I publish, it goes on Tumblr, it goes on LinkedIn, I can have it go on SoundCloud, and now I can have it go on TuneIn. It'll automatically just push it over there for me. That's one of the cool things about Libsyn is they, you basically hit publish, and it also goes on Twitter and Facebook and all these other places. So that's kind of, Rob was on, Paul Colgan's show, the podcast report, explaining that that's kind of one of the things they do is they want to make it easy to distribute your show. So all those fun-filled places.
Well, thanks very much, gentlemen.
All right. Where can we find your podcast again?
OnTheTablePodcasts.com.
There you go. Thanks, Kim.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Have a good weekend.
As she goes, you know, I've got my list up. Do we have a caller?
We do not.
Okay, I've got my list up just thinking through these various platforms of the various ones I go to. And I make a list, you know, like a production checklist. YouTube, Spreaker, Audio Boom, Podomatic, Podbean, SoundCloud, Vimeo, Buzzsprout, Shout Engine, Mixcloud, Audio Mac, Archive.org, Podcasts.com, Clamor. Those are the 13 or so, 14 kind of channels that I'm kind of currently on and that I load to. And I'm sure there's a few more out there. By the way, I don't pay for any of these. I'm using all their free plans. That's right. One of the things I do. I do it so that when we talk about it on the show, I know I have some experience with it. You've kind of made me go back to Podbean. I'd kind of written them off and like, I'm not going to use them. Their free plan is hard to work with. Yeah. And now it's $3. And it's like, I've been kind of thinking, for $3, maybe I will take their plan that gives me a little more space and see where it goes.
It's interesting. I've been playing with them for the new show I just launched, just to like, let's kick the tires on. They have one stat that nobody else does. And that is, how many times was your feed hit? And I was like, that's good. It's basically an old feed burner trick.
Yeah.
So I can actually go in and see how many times. So I actually used, because I can move from it if I wanted to, actually use the Podbean feed. I was like, well, if I'm going to use them, I'm going to use them. I'm like, that makes me nervous.
Well, but I'm never nervous about using a feed, and because I don't think you get hurt by it. The only time I think you get hurt is if you start it and then you stop it. I mean, I'm that way with Blog Talk Radio. I started doing some things over there because everybody was talking about it. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to talk about it without using it. So I got in there on their free plan. I started, and even the stuff I uploaded was just crap.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, do I really want to be out there? And I left some stuff out there, and I was still getting hits out there on Blog Talk Radio with old stuff. And I'd have to actually look. I don't know if I pulled it all down or not at this point. So I think that could hurt you if you put stuff out there and it gets old and it doesn't look like you're updating it. I would rather not have anything at all than to have half-baked stuff out there from that standpoint. But I don't think it hurts if you're willing to go over there and take the 2 minutes it takes to update these things. And you never know, right? I mean, Mixcloud and Audio Mac are two new services. They're really designed for musicians, but they've embraced podcasting in the last 6 months. And I'm just kind of trying them out. You know, I've got a couple hundred followers on Mixcloud, and Audio Mac's a whole different model. But it's and actually both of them import from SoundCloud now. So you can upload to SoundCloud, and there you just click a button and it sucks it over to SoundCloud. So it's even easier, right? Yeah. Why wouldn't you have it there? I've actually had a friend of mine was searching for something and he goes, "We're on AudioMac?" One of my hosts, he's like, "Who is that and why are we on that?" He'd found that in a search, right? So they're getting SEO. So anyways, I don't think it hurts unless you abuse it.
Yeah. And let me answer this quick question. Then we got another caller coming in. Roy asked, what is the top three you would use? Well, iTunes, Stitcher, and I would say four. TuneIn and Spreaker.
Stitcher just scares the crap out of me right now.
Yeah, they're in Dweezer or whatever they're...
Deezer.
Deezer.
Yeah. Bow, bow, bow.
Yeah,
Stitcher's scaring the crap out of me right now. Their stats were offline for about 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah,
and I don't know what's going on over there. Yeah. So, and their audio quality's not great. From a sheer numbers standpoint, yes.
I'm with you. I'm watching that going, is that a growing pain or just, my gut reaction is that it's failing. It didn't work. That's why they got bought in. You know, we'll see now that they're officially moved it into Deezer, you know, if those will pick back up, because that is kind of the UK version of Spotify. So in theory, the numbers should start going up, hopefully. I know the stats are back. Corey Finneran from Ivy Envy gets a lot of downloads or listeners from Stitcher. And he said, whoa, that's like the stats just disappeared. And I heard they're back. So whatever the problem was, they fixed it, which is good. But it is, you know, I know Rachel's not there anymore, and I've heard their support isn't very responsive anymore, and it's kind of like, it's not good. So we'll see. But ending in 1770, you're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and question?
Well, hello, Dave and Jim. This is Rich Grimshaw calling from the great state of Georgia. Happy Saturday morning, and thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Hey, Rick. My
question is about Google Hangouts. I've got some associates spread across the country, and we want to get together in a hangout every now and then and talk about some issues and record that. And I can't get that stuff to work. I have failed at Google Hangouts, and I feel so humbled, but I need some help and some direction. The video is great, but we got a lot of people that get on, myself included, where our audio just isn't there. What do we do?
When you go into a Google Hangout, at the top of it, you'll have a couple little buttons. One is a little gear. And when you click on that, one of the options will be, it'll show you the little microphone icon means what am I using for, you know, audio. And then there's a little picture of a camera. And you can say, here's where my camera is. Because what's very easy, an easy mistake to happen is it will just start pulling the audio from your camera. And so one of the things you can do is, I know Jim and I have had this on occasion, and Jim will go, tap your mic, and I'll kind of go, and if you don't hear that, that means it's pulling the camera audio, and I'll go over and tap
microphone. It might be if you have multiple microphones. It could be
from one of those. Yeah. So that's usually the first thing I check is make sure it's listening to whatever the heck you want to listen to. I do wish they had, they have little green lights that light up, you know, but in terms of actual accuracy of how loud your audio is, there's not much, you kind of have to rely on your audience to tell you if they can't hear things like that.
Hey, Rich, can you describe your failure? I mean, what kind of problems are you actually having?
On a group hangout, no one will be able to hear what I'm saying. And Dave, thanks for the tip about the gear up top. We've tried that. I mean, I've got couple of different systems that I use, and some of them have lots of microphones attached. So I've tried taking all the microphones off and just having one. And I thought I had a configuration that worked. If I just took the ATR mic and plugged that into the USB, and that was it, and I put a set of headphones on or earbuds to listen, that would work. And it worked a couple of times, and then it stopped working. And I don't get it. I mean, I've punched all the buttons I can punch.
Yeah, you've got something local there, because I've done hundreds of Hangouts over the last, since it's gone. I mean, it launched on a Tuesday. We started using Hangouts on Wednesday. And they work They always work. So there must be, so with the exception of last Thursday, for some reason, Nick did it for the first time, and system-wide, they had some problems. But generally, Hangouts work every single time. So you've got to have some kind of local setup. You might be, are you going through a board? Normally, you're going through a board, or are you?
No, just the computer.
USB only.
I know what it is.
All right, Dave.
And you ready for this? And I had somebody last week. It's so easy. And if this is it, don't kick yourself too hard because you're not the only person that does this. Check the on-off button. Because you can plug in a microphone, and the ATR2100 has this cute little on-off switch. And if that bad boy's not on, it's not going to do a thing.
Rich is probably smart.
Well, you're right. I will check that. God, I hope that's not it. I hope it's more complicated than that.
Rich, I send these mics to guests all the time. And it's funny how, you know, for the Gallup podcast, we have a brand new guest. I'm doing a tech call with them. And they come on, and they're getting no audio. I'm getting no audio from them. And 99 times out of 100, it's the switch. And they go, oh, turn. And somehow that gets turned off,
yeah,
you know, in shipping.
Yeah. Everything.
That's a really, really common, problem. But that should work. Rich, that should work for you. I mean, there's no magic to it. It's super simple, and it should just work, especially if you're just USB only.
Right,
and you've got the
right
up there in the gear.
Now, a lot of my friends and associates that'll be on, I mean, we're all on the same Toshiba laptops, and I just want to be able to make sure I can give them the right directions. They should be able to plug some earbuds in and use the microphone that's right there in the laptop, and that should work. I mean, there's no magic. There's no fairy dust I need to tell them to sprinkle on it, right?
The mechanics inside of that ATR2100 are actually just a stripped-down sound card. So if you think about the sound card that's in your computer, they have just stripped that down and jammed it inside the cylinder of that. And so when you plug it in via USB, it's no different than a USB sound card. And that speaker port out is going to be for your earbuds, and then the microphone in is going to be the mic in. And so the PC, if you're using a Windows PC, it recognizes it and does all the same things as your typical sound card does. So there's no magic to it. It's super simple and very, very basic. And so should I
plug my earbuds into the jack on the microphone or the sound card on the PC?
No, into the back of the microphone, and then make sure in the Google Hangout settings, right? There's three different options.
Right.
The mic, speakers. Make sure the mic and the speakers are set to that. It'll say ATR USB device or something like that.
Okay.
Absolutely have to make sure you've got that set for both the microphone and the earbuds.
All right, that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to tape my on button into the on position. That's what I'll do.
You might as well, unless you're going to use it as a mute, and it's not a very good mute button because you can hear it, right? When you're, so it's not great for mute. I have used it when I've been cough.
Well, I don't want to have any Leo Laporte moments, so I better maybe keep it where I can turn it off.
Well, I'm doing a presentation at Podcast Movement. And it's called Help My Podcast is Broken. And it's basically I'm actually having to find an old CD. I used to teach a class on troubleshooting back in the day. And so what you can do is, take your microphone, plug it in via USB, I don't know, throw it into Audacity or something and see if you can record. Now, if you do that, then you know it's not the mic and it's not the cable. You know, then I know I can get sound into that, you know, and then if you do that and you're like, wait a minute, I can't even record into Audacity. Okay, let's check the switch. Okay, well, all right. And now let's switch out the USB cable. Okay, now does it work? Okay, it works. So that means it was the cable. If that cable works, then it might be the microphone. You have to try to isolate each little piece, and then you'll finally figure out, maybe it's that USB port on your if it shows up, it, you know, so if you can't isolate the stuff, but it's tricky. And then again, I don't recommend punching the computer when you get frustrated. That usually doesn't work either.
Thank you. I will not do that. All right. I feel emboldened. I'm going to go ahead and try this.
Call your friends and test. Don't leave that till the podcast to make sure you know what you're doing. So,
right. I need to do that beforehand.
Yep.
All right,
yep.
Guys. Thanks.
Dave, all right, Rich.
Are you still thinking about moving to North Carolina, Mr. Jackson, or is Cleveland going to claim you forever?
Oh, you missed this last week.
I did.
My wife
I heard he had an interview and that you might be coming down, but I didn't hear the results.
We haven't heard. She talked to them this week, and their human resources department just revamped all their software, and basically we're not going to hear what for about a month. So it's kind of like, it's out there. We threw it on the wall. We'll see what happens. It won't be happening anytime soon, but we're going to be down there anyway. My stepdaughter's in South Carolina, and mom's going down in a couple weeks to a wedding dress shop. So that ought to be a fun, expensive trip. my stepdaughter.
Well, just know that the South will welcome you with open arms if you move down here, okay?
All right, my man. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the help. Bye. Yes.
No personal stuff, Dave.
That's it.
I guess I didn't listen all. I listened to the first half of the show. You must have talked about that.
That was post show. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, post show. I got you.
Yeah. So she just kind of said, "Hey, I have a job interview next week." I'm like, "Really?" And I'm like, "Where at?" Because I'm like, "She's worked at the Cleveland Clinic. She's at University." She's like, "Oh, it's in North Carolina." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah." Because she said the minute the boy, as I affectionately refer to him as my stepson, whose last day was Thursday in high school. And he's going to be going to Purdue. And she said, the minute, he's done, we're out of here. And I'm like, okay, yeah, we can think about it. And she got a job interview, and she already picked up a house to rent. And I'm like, okay, you're not kidding about this. All right. Oh, yeah, it'd be in Asheville, I think is the name of the city, which everybody I see says, oh, Asheville is awesome. So I'm like, all right, as long as I got good internet connection, I'm happy. So we'll see. It's a long, The cool thing about being a nurse is you can switch jobs pretty easy. You're always kind of in demand because there's always sick people. But and I completely lost my train of thought.
Mike, while you can really bring it back.
Yeah. Okay. So when she anytime she has changed up, it takes a minimum of 6 weeks just to get a call back. It's ridiculously because it's got to go through all these committees and blah blah blah. So yeah, the health industry is. Moves very, very slow. So we'll see it.
So. Mike Phillips says that Asheville is a zoo.
Nice. Excellent. Well, I don't want to live too far in the mountains and the sticks. And
yeah.
So
no, it's cool. Man, I'm gone for 1 week and you're moving. Yeah,
that's again, potentially. Maybe. So
hey, before we wrap this, I got the opportunity, Spreaker contacted me this week and said, hey, would you send us a graphic we'd like to feature you. So if you go to
that
front page of Spreaker.com right now, Home Gadget Geeks is my podcast. I've been watching the numbers, not really changing things that much. The views are up maybe, I normally get, let's say I get to 15 or so a day listens out there, and I got 25 yesterday. So, it's going to bump it up some. It's not it's not the be all end all on Spreaker. I don't think a lot of people are going to that front page, but it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to get featured.
Another thing I'm being featured on, I've been nominated. I should know the name of this. The Academy of Podcasting, the new media. I just call it the Podcast Movement Podcast Awards, whatever they are. The Academy of Podcasters. I should know this because I've been, anyway, the School of Podcasting has been nominated and they need a 5-minute clip. So that's what I get to do today is go back over the year and pick out my top stuff. So I'm like, I don't know what my top stuff is. Maybe we'll talk about that in the post show. But that's like, oh, cool. I've been nominated. So I can add that to the resume.
Very cool.
So
congrats, man.
But we'll go ahead and start wrapping things up. And fun show, man. It went quick.
Yeah. No, it always does. It always goes too fast. I always look forward to Saturday mornings hanging out with you. And it just goes so fast.
Yeah. So thanks to Gail for calling in. It was because she's on the West Coast. So it was like 7:30 in the morning. So that was awesome.
She took your free consulting to the next level.
She did. Yeah. So even that, she kind of acknowledged. She's like, look, this is a consulting call at this point. I'm like, ah. So, but yeah. So
Rich and Nick and Kim.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in as well.
It's always fun when we get callers. I get all giddy. And I know in the chat room they were saying I need something better for my backdrop besides a bunch of books and pictures of my grandpa. So the goal is to get me out of the corner. I'm literally in the corner right now.
Where were you for Podcasters Roundtable the other day?
Oh, I did this because my PC wasn't working. So I put the the mic yeah, over
that's
here.
A good look, by the way. I like that look.
You should do that. So yeah. Now you've got the, you know.
I mean, I know you're not head on, but you could move some things around to kind of get you head on.
Yeah, I could do that. And then yeah, use
that's,
this for.
That's a good look.
So, yeah. And then move my camera. My lights are over here.
Right.
But yeah. And yeah, then
you got a little work to do on that.
Yeah. And I've got a lot of trash. You know, I've got Kleenex and.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, are you wearing pants? Oh.
I am wearing pants. This is not the Leo Laporte show.
Thank goodness you're wearing pants.
Yes. So
only move your camera around if you're wearing pants.
Lessons from Leo. So awesome. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. And we're here every Saturday next week. AskThePodcastCoach.com/live. Take care, everybody. And that should be enough empty space. Yeah, okay.
Good enough. Yes.
So yeah, if I put this over here.
Yeah, that's a good look. That was a good
I would need to change my my lights.
Move your lights around. You know, the other thing you do is you get a little cheap little monitor, throw it back there. And what I've been doing with this one, and I don't do it during this show, but during my own show, I have a
do the aerial view.
I do a 90-minute YouTube video that just circles through. I use the Chromecast to project it back here. And then it's just got album art that plays back here, right there. So, yeah, you know, and sometimes I forget to start it.
Yeah, that's always fun. Yeah, I thought of at one of making, see if I do this now. Okay, that's a little better. Except now when I go to look at you, I have to talk like this.
No, right. I still think you got to do a good job of getting, because I rearranged here. You know, I'd put the big monitor here and the other small ones there, and you were over here. And so for the last couple shows, you know, you see me doing this all the time. And I reconfigured it this week to get that smaller monitor up and the camera right above it. And I'm content with it. It's one of those kinds of things. That's working well for me. I think you got to get your camera and you got to go face on. I think that makes people the most comfortable on video.
We could always put the microphone on the camera, like up close and personal, Dave.
Yeah. You know what you could do? Here's an interesting thing. We talked about this before. Mount that camera to an arm. You know, get one of those newer $15 mic arms. They're not particularly great, but if you're not moving it around a lot, and mount that camera to, you know, there's some adapters you can get the camera. These C920s have that little mount on them. And you can finagle that and then get that thing. And so that you can move it closer or farther. I like to put it in one place and kind of leave it. I actually have it on a bracket. I have a Manfrotto bracket that clamps to the desk and then an adjustable 18-inch arm that comes up that's adjustable, but it holds really well.
Nice.
Those are expensive. That was like a $60 rig right there. Put that up. But once you move that camera, so the camera's still flexible. I mean, I can still move it around up there, but once it's set, doesn't move. So that's, that's kind of what I've been using.
As he's killing things. As Mark mentions, what's the iPad for you? This is, you can see, this is one thing I like about Soundbite is you can label what's, like this is, you know, ask opening, here's the number. So I don't have to remember my phone number. It's right there in front of me. Where if I was using Boss Jock Studio, that is called Bed
it's
Calls to Win.
To read too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can go into Boss Jock and I can say, look, make this yellow, which makes it a little easier. So I can color code what those are. But this is called Bed Calls to Win Tickets. You know, well, that's fine, but now I have to actually memorize my phone number. Who wants to do that? So yeah, I use sound. Now, on the other hand, Soundbite is a pain in the butt, in my opinion, to get sounds on and off of it because you have to go through iTunes and this whole nine yards. So, but yeah, that's that. And then I have things like, you know, pop a cork, right? Who doesn't?
Dave pops a cork in 5.
Right. So that whole, I have a bunch of, and David, I think David Lee Roth is in here. Yeah.
Woo!
Whoa! So you know all the really important sound files.
The super important ones. You know, the other day, the other thing I've been doing with these arms. So we talked about putting the camera on them. So let me disconnect this here. So with Periscope and Meerkat getting more and more popular, and I'm on the iPhone, but I have an Android phone here down as well, just because we've talked about that before. I like to make sure I'm on all the platforms. I bought one of those. WizGear magnet mounts. So if you've seen them like this, they're really designed for the car, right? But it's got a skinny and a wide opening on that. So this is for your, this one is for your vents. And then if you had something a little bit wider, you could put it on there. Well, ironically, they fit really nice. I'll bring this one over. On the top of this, you know, on your, this is a regular thing for your microphone.
Yeah.
Amazingly, they fit really nice. You just throw that on there like that. And then you can take your phone and use that and it sticks right there.
Nice.
And then for Meerkat, right? If I wanted to bring that thing in here, if I wanted to do some pre-show stuff, I could fire at my phone right here. Don't have to touch it. It's getting this heads on from like what you want, right? Because you know how many times have you seen a Meerkat or a Periscope and it's shaking?
Right. Can you use that with an iPad? Of course, they make iPad mounts.
You could. Yeah.
Because I know I've seen where there's some teleprompter apps. Although I wouldn't want to read my stuff.
Yeah, so this is what I have for the iPad because it would be bigger. Surface would be the same thing.
Yeah.
This is a little $25 or something, and it's got the thing for your tripod right mm-hmm. here if you're going to hook it to the tripod. But I could also figure a way to hook that to these arms, and I think they're stiff enough. They'd probably be able to hold an iPad up. And in fact, have I tried it? I haven't tried it, so I don't know for sure. But then you could mount that iPad here instead of being where the camera is and have that iPod or have that the iPad sitting there. Again, this is very convertible. These slide right off and you can, you know, I put these in the back, but you can get the shorter ones. And so it's really customizable to be able to get the gear in the right place. So that's an alternate use for these newer arms. In fact, the cheaper ones, the 13, Steve Stewart just dropped the link in the chat room for the cheap $13 ones. They're actually, I think, a little bit better for this because those springs are a little stiffer than the Rode one that I have. I've also kind of worn this out for moving around a lot, but they hold it up very, very well. Again, I haven't tried an iPad on it. I don't know, but this is a pretty stiff. This is a pretty stiff arm. And these are one of those brand new $15 arms. You know, you don't have to buy the $100
nice
Rode ones to get it done. So this has been my recommendation when we think about how do we get Periscope and Meerkat kind of, you know, if you're going to do your pre-show, your post-show or something like that on one of those, that's worked really, really well.
Somebody had asked, I think it was Craig, said, where did I get my sound effects from? Again, this is a back in the day thing. Podcasting Toolkit. I don't remember where I got this. And here's another one. I don't know exactly how legal this is. So, of course, ask your lawyer. You can go to the library and they have tons of CDs with sound effects. And it's kind of a pain in the butt because you end up with, you know, in many cases, clip one, clip two, clip three that you have to go back and then rename applause, dog barking. A lot of times if you just Google, you know, I need a sound of giant robot, you know, or robot lost in space. And again, how legal is that? Don't really know, but that's, you know, I have a lot, I think, from a lot of them I've bought. I've had, especially at Black Friday kind of stuff, end of year sales, you know, there was a place where you could log in, you could buy a year's membership and download as much as you want. And I logged in and I downloaded every single thing they had. So I have a lot of stuff that way. The other thing I threw in the chat room, you know, we've always had fun with Amazon. And I thought, you know, that was something I used to bring in a decent amount of income with, something that wasn't sneezable at. And so I was looking at this thing. It came across one of my emails. And I think it's Fresh Store Builder. Anyway, if you go to bestpodcastinggear.com, it's not officially done yet, but it's a script that automatically... make sure that's the right website. I had a couple. Yeah. It's an Amazon store that they claim keeps you legal. Cause on every page they have the disclaimer. And there's also the thing I haven't done yet that I want to, you can make your own bundles. Like I could say here's an ATR 2100 and a little baby mixer and recorder. And that could be like the solo podcast and some headphones, you know, so I could do that, but it's something I've been playing with, on my lunch. That's basically been, if you wonder what does Dave do on his lunch this week, I was like, oh, let's add something else, but But it's going to be cool because now if somebody says, well, where can I buy, you know, what should I do? I can say, oh, go for the Audio-Technica 2100, go to bestpodcastinggear.com, and anything they buy from there, you know, I get a chunk of change. So
on the WizGear stuff, they're asking some questions. So you can see on the back of my Samsung device here, that's a sticker. So they send you two. They send you a flat one that has no sticker and a round one that has a sticker, but WizGear, just look at WizGear on Amazon and use Dave's link for that. And so this one sticks. If you don't, I don't care about this phone. So I just use the sticky one. I took the square one though, and this is inside my case for my iPhone. So that's not stuck to my iPhone. And I pulled the case off. I also have, so you're like, well, Jim, that's a pretty thin case because we can see it right through there. But I also have a Tech Armor case they sent me for review. It's pretty thick. It's got a standard back, like a plastic, like the one you've got right there, Dave.
So are those magnets?
Yes. So this piece is the magnet. So this is a really strong magnet.
Right.
And then all you do is you put a metal plate, bam, sticks right to it. Not suction cup, but magnetic.
See, my only worry is, and this may be something I don't have to worry about, is if I had a really strong magnet on my phone and I put my phone in the pocket with a USB device, is it going to erase my USB stick?
No, magnet's on this.
Oh, okay.
Not this. That's just a piece of metal.
Oh, got it. Okay.
This is the magnet. So what you stick in the car or what you stick on here, that's the magnet piece. Bam, put that on there. Now, I bought one of these for my wife. She's got a Galaxy Note 4. It was too heavy to do that. But for the iPhone and for my Galaxy, works great. And so you just, bam, right there, you're in.
Nice.
So that's, yeah. And it's less than $10. I mean, these are $10. And most times they're cheaper than that.
Right.
I bought three of them. And it was just like, you know, on Prime. And so again, that's just, then you just jam that on there. And there you go. That's on the bracket is on there. And I could do a lot of things with this, not modifying anything, right? I'm just using what's there.
Yeah.
There you go. That's my freebie for the day.
We were talking about the backdrop that I use. I can't even get it to come on right now. I was telling Jim before we started, I used today. I bought it from Dell, and I got a free 32-inch flat screen TV when I bought the computer. I'm like, I don't really need it, but okay. And so that's the plan, is to probably throw that, or one of my now extra monitors will be in the back with like a School of Podcasting logo or something like that. That's the plan. But yeah, I'm pinned in the corner, and my goal is to kind of, like you said, have it face on. And I have what do you call it? It's a thing that sits on the desk shelves. It's not a bookcase, but it's credenza, maybe. I don't know. And I don't really need it.
Credenza sounds nice.
Yeah. And it's kind of there, but it's like, it's just filled with junk. And I was like, you know, if I had this down, then I could put my, because I can't put my lights over there because the thing's in the way. It blocks all the light. And I'm like, if I just had a big flat desk, I actually probably need a different desk because I have an L, but I'm running out of room. And I saw a clip from Daniel J. Lewis that I went, brilliant. I've got the DBX 286A. His is mounted under his desk. So he gets that desk space back. And I'm like, oh, because I never really, you know, once you mess with those things, it's kind of set. You know, and I'm like, because it is made for a rack. And I'm like, I never touch that thing. I use it basically. It's got a bunch of coasters on it.
Get a small rack, get a 4U rack and mount that up underneath your desk and then just slide that. And then you can put a bunch of things under there. I've been thinking about my headphone jack comes across the top of the desk here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm listening to here. And I think I'm going to run that underneath with just some tiny little brackets that. And so it'll come out. Right underneath the desk. So I don't have to deal with a headphone, you know, with my earbud stuff coming across the top of the desk. So there's a lot of things you can do to optimize that, I think.
Mike Phillips had mentioned Chirbit and actually apparently played with this because when I went there, LastPass put in my login name and password. It's it looks like a media host.
This is not the first time this has come up. We've talked about this before a while ago. In fact, he's the one that keeps mentioning it.
Yeah, I see here posted 1 year, 1 month ago.
Yeah.
But I have no stats. At least I
don't. Spell that?
CHIRBIT.com.
Yeah. he mentioned it a couple weeks ago when he was here, and I, of course, then I went to log in, and we'll let LastPass log me in. And I looked at that a while ago as an option, not one I took advantage of. I'd have to dig through why I didn't use it, but it's one we've come back to. We talked about a while ago.
Yeah, it's kind of like it doesn't seem. And when you upload it, you tell it what it is. Yeah, I'll have to play with this again. I'm like, okay, it might be another one again. I guess that's the thing. If I don't see how many times people are listening to it, then I don't know if it's worth my time.
It provides another way. I mean, it's one of those things that provides another way.
You know what it was? I remember part of it at the time. It played in Twitter, and I don't think Libsyn did. And then Libsyn did, and that was kind of the end of that. They had a cool, yeah. it was like another SoundCloud kind of alternative to their player.
Yeah, I looked into it. I remember looking at it and going through it and going, hey, this is kind of cool. Cause you know, I'll put my stuff anywhere. And then I guess I never got back to it. I didn't get around to it, but that might be a viable, that also might be another place if you're looking to put your files. You know, the one advantage to some of these communities is they're working hard, like Podbean right now is working hard to get their service known. And so if they're in that mode where they're doing that, sometimes you might ride that wave. If you have a service that's not doing that, but it doesn't provide, if they're not promoting themselves or whatever, well, then you got to do the promotion. And so you kind of have to make that decision. Do you want that, you know, or is there a reason? Like I'm at archive.org, not because of any hosting, but because their goal is to be around forever and kind of be the archive of the internet. And I want my stuff somewhere. If my host provider takes my stuff down or I disappear, in theory, it will stay on archive.org. So that's why I put my stuff. And I get a handful of listens out there. There's some discovery going on at archive.org. I don't promote it, but every week I get 8 to 10 downloads out there, both video and audio from archive.org.
See, and what's cool is if you're using Chrome, you can make a folder, like a bookmark folder, and put all those in that one folder and then right click on the folder and say, open them all.
Yep.
And I forget where I learned that trick, but I'm like, man, that's a cool one.
It's a good workflow tool. So you go in and set all the places you're posting to and then invoke that folder. It'll open them all and then just go one by one and just complete the required steps to upload and, you know, those kinds of things. I wish some of them would start connecting to some of these cloud-based services like a OneDrive or a Google Drive or whatever, where I could put it in the cloud and then just suck it over from the, you know, suck it over from the cloud. That would be awesome.
I'm becoming a OneDrive junkie.
Oh, good.
Because, you know, a lot of my stuff, I was good. I had it on a USB, you know, a couple terabyte USB drive. So all I had to do was unplug that and plug it into the new computer and I was good to go. But I did find there were a couple things, like I have most of my expenses, my income and expenses for the school podcasting is in a spreadsheet. Well, and that's now on OneDrive. So now, no matter where I'm at, I just fire up OneDrive and there's all my spreadsheets and things like that. And I've known about it for years. I always show people, look, you can do Excel on your phone. But I never use it that much. So it's kind of cool. I like it.
Yes, Microsoft's working hard on OneDrive and that's kind of their future. Roadmap plays music really well. It archives pictures really well. I mean, thanks, Blog Talk Radio.
That's hilarious because, is this off?
Did you set that for an hour and a half?
Yeah, I did. Okay. Which is hilarious. I can't get my TV to show. I still got...
Oh, there we go. Oh, that's a podcaster's nightmare to flip between.
Here's the hilarious thing. There's no on-off switch. I have to use the remote to turn on and off the TV.
That's why it was free.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, shut up. Goodbye, Blug. I'm going to end the episode. Yeah, we're still on. We're still.